Hagadabach, everybody. The Gemara talks about a concept of Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses, a mokem that's miyuchad for davening has a special Kedusha, and there's a din of Kovet Beis HaKnesses, you have to show respect for the shul. There is a discussion in the commentaries on the Gemara, the Rishonim, what is the nature and what is the source of Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses. So the first one who talks about it is the Ramban, surprising. The Ramban has a whole essay. He develops the following idea. The Gemara learns out from a pasuk that the Sukkah has Kedusha during the duration of the Yom Tov of Sukkos. The Gemara learns out, Kishem Shel Chal Shem Shamayim Malach Hagiga, just like a Korban Hagiga has Kedusha, so too Chal Shem Shamayim Malach Sukkah, that during Sukkos, the Sukkah is Hup to the Mitzvah. We know the Gemara talks. Thank you. The Gemara talks about the Esreg being hooked to the mitzvah, so that you're not allowed to eat it, and the Hadassim are hooked to the mitzvah, so during the duration of Sukkot, you're not allowed to smell the Hadassim to get the Reach. And this concept of hooked to the mitzvah so applies when our Torah, the Ramban says, we extend it. The original Pasuk only says by Sukkot, and we extend it to all Tashmishei Mitzvah, Bizman Mitzvahsim. So take, for example, a talis. A talis is a tashmishei mitzvah. It's an article that we use to perform a mitzvah, to fulfill a mitzvah of tzitzis. And as long as the talis is still useful for the purpose of the mitzvah of tzitzis, you have to treat it with respect. You have to show kavod. Let's have an old talis that's worn out, and it's yellow, and has holes in it, and I'm not going to wear it anymore. I buy a new talis, I want to donate it to the shul. And the gabbai says he doesn't want it, no one wants to use it in the shul, no one's going to wear that old talis. I want to give it to a poor man, nobody wants it. So then the talis says, lachas ma mitzvasa. So after this mana mitzvah is up, it's like the sukkah, after sukkah is over, like the estrog, like the hadassim, after yontif sukkah is over. So strictly speaking, tashmishei mitzvah on nizrokim. So the Ramban feels that a Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha because it's a Tashmishei Mitzvah, it's a location where it helps us daven better. You can daven without a shul. It's not the same as a talis, that without a four-corner garment you can't fulfill the mitzvah at all. Without an esrog, without a hadassim, you can't fulfill the mitzvah at all. But the Beis HaKnesses is a thing, it's a location, which helps us daven better, helps us concentrate better. So therefore, Bizman Mitzvasa, it has Kedusha. Let's everybody moves out of the neighborhood and it's no longer used as a shul. So the Ramban says that strictly speaking, min haTorah, it no longer has Kedusha. So how come the Gemara says you have to have a meeting of all of the people in the shul and have to sell it and switch the Kedusha from the shul onto the money, and then Malam HaKodesh for Loma Reed, and you have to use the money for something more Kodosh than the shul, to buy an Aron Kodesh or to buy a Sefer Torah? So he says that's all midirabbana. Min haTorah, the main thing is that after everybody moves away and they don't plan to use it anymore as a shul, so min haTorah no longer has Kedusha. The Ran quotes this Ramban, the Ran on Megillah, on the Rif, quotes this Ramban. The Ramban is in a few places, it's in Masechah Shabbos and in Masechah Megillah. He has it in three different places. So the Ran disagrees. The Ran says, no, the Gemara comments in Megillah on a pasuk in the Novi Yecheskel. Yecheskel was one of the Nevi'im who prophesied in advance that the first Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, and that he went into Golas Bavel together with the Bnei Yisrael. So he says, even though HaKadosh Baruch is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and send all the Jews into Bavel, nonetheless, Va'ehi Lahem LeMikdash Miyat, they will have a miniature Beis HaMikdash there in Bavel. What miniature Beis HaMikdash? There was no such thing. So the Gemara says this is a reference to Bate Knesios, the Bate Midrashos in Bavel, all over the world. All the shuls and all the yeshivas all over the world have the status of a Mikdash Meyah. So the Ran says it's not really Tashmishei Mitzvah. It's not like the Ramban says. All it is like a talus, like an esrog, like a hadassim, like a sukkah. He says no, it's a Tashmishei Mitzvah, like the Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha, so the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash has Kedusha as well. It's a miniature Beis HaMikdash. The Ran throws in one word. He says that this whole idea of a Mikdash Miyat is only Midirabbon. That's not the real pshat in the Pasuk, and it's only an Asmachta Midirabbonim. The Chai Yodam quotes from the Sefer Yireim from Rav Lezer Mimitz, who agrees with the Ran that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is that it's based on Mikdash Miyat, and he thinks that that's the pshat in the Pasuk. The Rabbi Yecheskel said in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all the shuls all over the world are miniature Beis HaMikdash, and that's a din men haTorah. of Soloveitchik was fond of pointing out that the Rambam seems to say the same as the Reb Lezer Mimitz in the Sefer Yireim. The Rambam wrote the Mishneh Torah, where he quotes all the halachas on the Mishneh Torah. He never mentions one way or the other. The Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Arabic. Sefer HaMitzvahs, he lists off, in his opinion, what are the 613 mitzvahs. He doesn't say there. The Sefer HaMitzvahs was intended to be the introduction to the Mishneh Torah, that people don't know exactly what learning is all about. Learning means, people think learning is to ask a good kasha, to give a good teretz. That's one aspect of learning. The main thing of learning is a person, ulamadatim al-sam, ushmaratim al-sam. A person is supposed to learn the 613 mitzvahs and to observe, to know all the details and to observe all of the mitzvahs. So the main mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to learn all the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam lists off in the Sefer HaMitzvahs which are the 613 mitzvahs, and that's the introduction to the Mishneh Torah. And then in the Mishneh Torah, he gives you a section, Hilchos Shabbos, and then he has Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, and then he has Hilchos Niskei Mamon. Every section has many, many sections. Every section, he says, in this section, we're going to cover the following 15 mitzvahs. He always starts off. Every section, how many mitzvahs are we going to cover? Then by the time you complete the whole Mishneh Torah, you have covered all the 613 mitzvahs. That's what learning Torah is all about. Learning Torah means to know which are lamadatim al-sam, to learn all the 613 mitzvahs with all the details. In order that, to shmaratim al-sam, will be able to observe them. So again, so the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is intended as an introduction to the Mishneh Torah, was written in Arabic. And then the Rambam wrote Sefer HaMitzvahs, Minyan HaMitzvahs Bekit Biktzora. He abridged the Sefer HaMitzvahs, has a brief paragraph, sometimes not so brief paragraph, but it's all the kitzur about the 613 mitzvahs. And then in the Mishneh Torah, the beginning of the Mishneh Torah, he writes in Hebrew the 613 mitzvahs in a abbreviated form. Each one only has one or two lines. So when the Rambam quotes the pasuk, "Osasim kein l'Hashem alakechem," it says in the Chumash, when we will come to Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu never was zecher to enter Eretz Yisrael. So he tells the Jewish people, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you into Eretz Yisrael, so one of the mitzvahs is you have to have a clean country, you have to clean up all the avodah zarahs, you have to have clean, you shouldn't have garbage, you shouldn't have sloppy streets, but it should be clean in a spiritual sense, clean up all the avodah zarahs. So it says, V'ibadatim ha'shmah min ha'makam ahu. We should destroy all the asheres and destroy, burn all the asheres and destroy all the avodah zarahs. And losasin kein l'Hashem alakechem, but you shouldn't do that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam quotes losasin kein l'Hashem alakechem in the minyan mitzvahs, as har le'noteit seven min ha'mizbeach. You're not allowed to break anything from the Beis HaMikdosh. Then the Rambam adds on in his minyan mitzvahs b'ktzara, the only place that he has it, and this applies also to a shul, and to a Beis HaMedrash. So he's listing off the 630 mitzvahs min ha'Torah, and he's telling you that min ha'Torah, this loisase applies also. It's very mechudishdik. He doesn't have it in the Sefer HaMitzvahs where he has this lav more barichas, a whole paragraph, and he doesn't have it in the Mishneh Torah. He only has it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs b'Ktzor. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Achrayim before him pointed it out. The Rambam seems to assume, like the Chayyadim quoted in the name of the Sefer Yireim, Rav Lezer Mimitz, that the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is min ha'Torah, not like the Ran who wrote that it's only an asmachtim of the Rabbanim. It's really Migdash Meyat Min HaTorah. What exactly does that mean? It's a Migdash Meyat, a miniature based on Migdash. The Gemara talks about Mora HaMigdash, Migdashi Tira'u. You should fear the base HaMigdash. What do you mean? You should fear that the walls are going to collapse on you. The Gemara says, no, Lo Min HaMigdash Ata Misyori. You have to act in a respectful fashion in the base HaMigdash. So that means you have to show kavod to the base HaMigdash. So the Gemara always talks about kavod base HaKnesses, kavod that you have to show for the shul, and Mora HaMigdash. Bar HaMikdash means covered square, more covered. Because the Beis HaMikdash is the real Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaKnesses is only a miniature Beis HaMikdash, Mikdash Miyat. So that's why you have to show more covered for the Beis HaMikdash than for the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. So what's the rule exactly? So the Gemara says in the end of Brachas, Ki Beiso, if you would visit someone else's home, what would you not do in the other person's home? What's not considered respectful? So that's what you're not allowed to do in a Beis HaKnesses. In a Beis HaMikdash, it's not only what you wouldn't do in another person's home, it's much more than that. But a Beis HaKnesses is only ki beiso. You have to act in a respectful fashion, like if you would visit someone else. So Rav Soloveitchik gave Mishalim, and Shulchan Aruch to have. it's not proper. Let's say you would be visiting someone's home, so when they invite you to eat a meal, so you sit in the dining room, or you sit in the dinette or the kitchen. You don't sit in the living room, unless they're going to serve something in the living room. But normally, you sit in the living room, you don't eat food in their living room. So too in the Beis HaKnesses, you're not supposed to eat food, you're not supposed to talk Sicha B'Teila, you're not supposed to do disrespectful things. Rav Soloveitchik gave an example. A lot of the shuls have linoleum on the floors, so he said, if you would walk into someone else's home, if it's raining outside and you're wearing boots, you wouldn't walk in with your boots. You would have to, there are herets would dictate, you have to take off your boots and leave it outside. Or leave it as you walk in right away. There would be a special location to put your boots. You don't walk in with sopping wet boots. Even though the floor is linoleum and they'll be able to clean it off later on, you're not going to ruin the wooden floor because it's linoleum, but still, the herets dictates you're not allowed to do that. So he said, in a lot of shuls, they do like that. People walk in with their boots, with their wet boots. So he said that's a violation of Kavod Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara has this expression, ki beiso. How would you, what is expected, mitam darcheretz, if you would visit someone else's home? So Soloveitchik thought that line in the Gemara is giving us a definition of what the nature of a Mikdash Miyat is. That a real Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem. We come to visit the Rebbeinu Shalom. And the Beis HaKnesses is Beiseinu, it's our home, and the Shechinah comes to visit by us. So he thought that's the fundamental difference. That's what it means, a Mikdash Miyat. There is a meeting place between the human beings and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not that we're coming to visit the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, that's Beis Hashem. Shechina comes to visit us in Beiseinu. He gave the difference between Shabbos and Yontif also like that. That Yontif, you have to be Oyler Egel, you have to go visit the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in the Beis HaMikdash. And on Shabbos, the Shechina comes to visit by us, and it gave differences. Lahalocha based on that. The Gemara assumes also that the level of Kedusha in a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. Beis HaMedrash is Miyuchad for learning. Beis HaKnesses is Miyuchad for davening. So the Gemara assumes in the end of Maseches Megillah that they're not on the same level of Kedusha. One is higher than the other, and we have a principle of Malim HaKodesh v'lo Maridin. You're not permitted to convert something that has a higher level of Kedusha to something that has a lower level of Kedusha. Take, for example, Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh have the same four parshias in them, but the Tefillin Shel Rosh has one extra letter of Torah, has a shin on the outside. Tefillin Shel Yad doesn't have that shin. So we assume that the religious articles have Kedusha to the extent that they have the Divrei Torah written. So we assume the Sefer Torah has all the parshias, so that it has a higher level of Kedusha than the Tefillin. Tefillin only have four parshias, but the Mezuzah only has two parshias, Shema V'Hayom Shema. So the Mezuzah has the lowest level of Kedusha from among these three, and the Tefillin has a higher level of Kedusha, and the Sefer Torah has a higher level of Kedusha. So the Tefillin Shel Rosh, because it has one letter more, the Shin, our Tefillin have two Shins, one on each side, the Gemara only talks about one Shin, so the Tefillin Shel Rosh has a higher level of Kedusha than Tefillin Shel Yad. So the Gemara says that under certain circumstances you are permitted to convert the Shel Yad into a Shel Rosh, because that's called Malam HaKodesh, but you're not permitted to reverse it. If you have a Shel Rosh that you already used as a Shel Rosh, then you're not permitted to lower the level to convert it into a Shel Yad, because that would be a violation of Maridin. So the Gemara in the end of Megillah has this dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, which of the two have a higher level of Kedusha, the Beis HaKnesses, which is Miyuchad for davening, or the Beis HaMedrash, which is Miyuchad for learning. The accepted opinion there, the Gemara assumes the din is like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that the Beis HaMedrash has the higher level of Kedusha. So the simple reading of the Gemara seems to imply that they're arguing which is more important, learning or davening. It's a little unclear exactly what they're fighting about. Which is more important, Beis HaKnesses and Miyuchad for davening, and Beis HaMedrash is Miyuchad for learning. There is a Tosfos in Nazir, but Tosfos doesn't quote that Gemara in Megillah, but Tosfos, a little Tosfos on an Agadata in the middle of Nazir, Tosfos writes that the source of all Kedusha has to be Divrei Torah. That's what Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim. He writes that why is it that the Sefer Torah, the Tefillin and Mezuzah have Kedusha, and the Tzitzis and the Sukkah and the Esrog and the Lulav don't have Kedusha? Because the Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah have Psukim written on that. To the extent that you have Psukim, that's the extent that you have Kedusha. The Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah, the Rambam sounds like he says that if we were to find the original copy of the Aseres HaDibros, the author's copy, engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in person, that would have a lower level of Kedusha than the Sefer Torah that was just written this year, because the Sefer Torah has the Aseres Adibas plus more. That's how the Rambam writes. It would be more valuable, author's copy of the Aseres Adibas, original copy, that would be much more precious than the Sefer Torah that was written by a human being this year. But which has Alpidin, which has a higher level of Kedusha? So the Rambam sounds like he says that the Sefer Torah that we have has the Aseres Adibas plus more. So therefore it has a higher level of Kedusha. So the Tosfos in Nozi seems to be assuming like that, that all Tashmishi Kedusha, in order that something should have Kedusha, has to have Psukim, has to have some Divrei Torah written on it. And the difference, the key difference between a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses, the simple reading of the Gemara Megillah is the key difference is this is Miuchad for davening, this is Miuchad for learning. Tosfos says no. Both the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash have Kedusha because there's Torah there, but the difference is the Beis HaKnesses has a Torah Shebichzav, has a Sefer Torah. Beis HaMedrash, they're learning Torah Shebal Peh. So that's the debate in the Gemara. Which has a higher level of Kedusha, the Torah Shebichzav or the Torah Shebal Peh? And the accepted opinion is that the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. So if you want, if your community decides they want to have a shul, they want to convert it into a yeshiva, so that's permissible, you're elevating the level of Kedusha. But if you have a yeshiva and you want to convert it into a shul, that would not be permissible. You'd have to figure out how to be mafkir the whole kedusha. You would have to stop learning there and then sell it to someone else, be mafkir the kedusha, and then dedicate it anew as a shul. But just to convert it from a yeshiva to a shul, that would not be permissible. That would be considered a violation of Malam HaKodesh with all Marines.
This is that the Torah Shabbat has the Torah
Shabbat too. Tosis doesn't explain. However, either that or something else. Maybe because Torah Shebichzav we share with the Umas HaOlam, and the Torah Shebal Peh is what singles out the Jewish people. So Torah Shebal Peh is only for the Jewish people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a pasuk in Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he didn't want to give everything Bichzav because he wants the Jewish people to have something unique that should indicate that we are the Yam HaNifcha, and that, namely that is the Torah Shebal Peh. So again, one has to show respect for the Beis HaKnesses. Sichas Chulin to Shmuz, Dvarim B'Telem and Shul is not permissible. The commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch quote that the Arizal, who lived in Tzvat, I guess he davened in the Beis HaKnesses of Dari. I guess that's what they claim. That he wouldn't hold a drosha in the Shul because he was afraid he may say a line of Sichas B'Telem in the middle of the drosha. Ad kedei kach. He was afraid he would say a line of Sichas B'Telem in the Shul. Rav Soloveitchik used to say the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his grandfather, that he was very upset in Valozhin Yeshiva when the boys would daven, so they would pace back and forth. He thought that that was a bizoyin to the Kedushas Beis HaMedrash, a bizoyin to the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. When you go visit in someone else's home, so you pace back and forth. You sit down in the living room and you talk to the person. You don't pace back and forth. And they quote in the name Rav Chaim, Rav Soloveitchik didn't, I never heard this from Rav Soloveitchik, but others quote in the name Rav Chaim. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos lists off the 10 nisim that occurred on a regular basis in the Beis HaMikdash. One of them was Omdim Tzufim and Mishtachavim Erochim, that sometimes on the Shalosh Regalim it was so packed in the Beis HaMikdash, you were squeezed in like sardines, but when it was time to be Mishtachavet, to daven, to say vidui, to be Mispalel, so a miracle occurred and there was enough room for everybody. So we usually assume that the miracle was the second half. Despite the fact that it was Omdem Tzufim, it was so packed, it was so crowded, when it was time to be Mishtachva, there was room for everybody, nobody would hear anybody else's vidui. I'm afraid I don't want to say vidui, I don't want the next door, the next fellow next to me to hear what Averis I did. So there was enough room for everybody, nobody heard the other person's vidui. So the Poshep Shat is, the miracle was the second one, Mishtachva Mirvachim. So they quote, they print in the name of Rab Chaim. The first one was also a miracle. If it wouldn't have been Omdem Tzufim, they would have been pacing in the Beis HaMikdash also. And that's a violation of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. And it's a violation of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. So the Ribbon Shalom made a miracle that it was Omdem Tzufim. That it was so crowded that people couldn't pace. He was very upset about the fact that they paced back and forth in the shul, in the Beis HaMedrash, in the yeshiva, when they daven. He thought it's a violation of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara has the famous din that it's not permissible to use the shul as a kapandaria, as a shortcut. I have to go from this side to the other side, so I'm going to cut through the shul as a shortcut. So the Gemara says that's a violation of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Even though we mentioned that Kedushas Beis HaMedrash is a higher level than Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, and one would have thought that you should be more makbid on Kavod Beis HaMedrash than on Kavod Beis HaKnesses, So the Gemara has a kula, Talmid Chachamim, who are sitting and learning at the Beis HaMedrash. So if you tell them they're not allowed to have a snack, so they're going to have to waste 5 minutes to walk across the street to the store. Then they're going to eat, then they're going to, until they come back, you're going to waste 25 minutes. They just want to have a snack, they just want to have a drink or something. Or they want to put their head down to take a little nap. So if you say you're not allowed to take a nap in the Beis HaMedrash, so it will cause more bittul Torah. Since the purpose of the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses, so you should have been more medactic in the covet of the Beis HaMedrash. But because the purpose of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMedrash is to enable people to learn, and if you'll eat a little bit or drink a little bit or take a little bit of a nap in the middle of learning, this will enhance his learning. This will enable him to learn better. He told him he has to go home to take a nap. Till he goes home, till he comes back, he'll waste another half hour at least. So that's why we have that kula. The Talmid Chacham who are learning are permitted to sleep a little bit in the Beis HaMedrash and so on. Strictly speaking, you really shouldn't be permitted to deliver a hesped in a shul. So the Gemara says in Megillah that if you expect a big crowd of people to come, and they didn't have funeral homes like we have today, we have a special location which has enough room for everybody. So in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any funeral homes. So the Gemara says, if it's going to be a big funeral, and they expect a lot of people, so that's Tzorchei Rabim. So Tzorchei Rabim, you're permitted to have a funeral, to deliver the hesped in the Beis HaKnesses. Usually the minig is that when you deliver the hesped, you have the mace in front of you. So the Chayodin complains about that. It says in Shulchan Aruch, to take a dead body into a Beis HaKnesses, into a Beis HaMedrash, is a violation of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's only permissible if the one who passed away is Aluf V'Gaon, a very outstanding Talmud Chacham. So the Chayodim writes, my Mechutin was the Vilna Gaon, not exactly, it's a little bit, he was a Mechutin of the, one of the children of the Vilna Gaon, but it sounds better to say, my Mechutin Vilna Gaon. So he says, well, my Mechutin passed away, they were permitted to bring the body, the Orin, into the Beis HaMedrash, because that's Aluf V'Gaon, he was recognized as an outstanding, very outstanding Talmud Chacham. A person dies, that's not right. To take the body into the Beis HaMedrash is not proper. I remember when my father passed away a few years ago, so they were going to have the hespedim in the yeshiva. So originally they planned to have the hesped in the Beis HaMedrash. So the original plan was they were going to leave the Oren outside in the hearse. And then when they realized that there's so many people, they won't fit into the Beis HaMedrash. So they had it in the Lampert Auditorium. So the Lampert Auditorium is not a shul. So they took in the Oren to the auditorium. The Chasam Sofer made a big fuss about the fact that the Reform introduced the new practice. Chasam Sofer lived in Hungary at that time. He was originally a Yekke. He was brought up in Frankfurt. He always signs all of his tshuvas, Moshe HaKotten in Frankfurt, but he lived in Hungary. So the Hungarian Reform shuls introduced this new practice that they had, they would have the weddings take place in the shul. Why have the weddings take place in the shul? So this was mimicking the Christians by the Catholics. This is one of their seven sacraments, one of the seven mitzvahs b'ninoyach. So they, since it's one of their seven sacraments, so you have to have the chuppah in the church. So that's why they introduced this. Some sofer said it's against the din. You're imitating the goyim. It's chukas sakam and it's bizoyim beis haknesses. You're not allowed to use a shul for any purpose other than davening or learning. We always have a bris in the shul. So people usually assume you have a bris in the shul because it's a mitzvah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's not true. He thought that having the bris in the shul, not that we prefer to have the bris in the shul, more correct would be that after the davening everybody should go somewhere else and have the bris in a different location. Having the bris in the shul is like tzorchei rabim. Like the Gemara said, if you have a hesped, you expect so many people to come, there simply isn't a room that's big enough to hold all of the people. So the Gemara says, then we are permitted to use the shul to deliver the hesped because it's a tzorchei rabim. So one of the needs of the community. So he thought this is also tzitcha de tzibura, to tell all the people after they finish davening shachris, the bris is going to be in the morning, that they should take off the talis and tefillin and then go across the street and have the bris somewhere else. So that's why we are lenient. We allow the bris in the shul because tzitcha de tzibura. But let's say the bris is going to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon for some reason or another. More correct is to have the bris as early as possible, the Gemara says, as reason magdim the mitzvahs. So if it's possible, or at least before Chatzos, the Pima Gadim says, if you have after Chatzos, so then it's in violation. You're already violating Ziz Magdim Limit. You should have it as early as possible. But let's say they're having a bris at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Moel has 20 bris in the same day, so some of them are going to be in the afternoon. So Rav Soloveitchik taught, you're not gaining anything. You should not have it in the shul. You should have it wherever the catering is going to be. You should have the bris over there. It's a leniency. It's a cooler that we permit you to have the bris in the shul because it's a tircha de tzibur. It's like a tzorche rabim. Even though the bris is a mitzvah, the only mitzvahs he's supposed to perform in the shul as Torah and tefillah, and the chuppah is not right. You shouldn't really have a chuppah in the shul either. By other communities in Germany, they never had such a practice. They always used to have, even before the reform, they claimed that they used to have chuppahs in the shul. But that's what the Chasam Sefer feels like that. That having a chuppah in the shul is not permissible. It's a violation of Kvod Beis HaKnesses. In the Shulchan Aruch, they discuss construction of the shul. So they have a lot of details. They have a few details about it. So one of the details is, it should be similar to the Beis HaMikdash, just like the Mishkan and the Midbar that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu how to set up the Mishkan. So the Pesach HaMishkan was facing straight ahead to the Oron, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So too, if you construct a shul, this was not constructed as a shul, this was constructed as an apartment building, I guess. But if you would construct it as a shul, the correct way to do it is, you have to face Eretz Yisrael when you daven, so you should have the Aron Kodesh in that direction, wherever it's going to be. But we live to the west of Eretz Yisrael, so we daven facing the east. Those who live to the east of Eretz Yisrael daven facing the west. Those who live to the north daven facing the south, wherever you live. So wherever your Aron Kodesh is, that's the direction where you're going to daven, facing Eretz Yisrael. So the opening to the shul should be in that direction. I remember Rav Soloveitchik gave the Shira Maria, so the entrance to Beis HaKnesses Maria was also on the side. So he said this was not constructed as a shul, it was constructed as an office building. If it would have been constructed as a shul, it then would have required that the opening should be in the back. And yeshiva, also the opening is in the front, it's not in the back because it's just logistics, they just couldn't do it like that, the new base manager. The old base manager also. But if you have a breira, that's a tosefta. Rashi and the Gemara Brachas quotes that from the tosefta, and Shulchan Aruch quotes it from the tosefta, that the Pesach, the main Pesach, he can have more than one entrance, but the main opening, main doorway to enter into the shul should be facing the Aron HaKodesh. Then in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes that everyone should face the direction where you're going to daven, except for the Rabbanim, they should face the Tzibur. We assume that the Rabbanim are going to daven properly, and if the Balabatim are going to see the Rabbanim are daven properly, so this will have an influence on the Balabatim. Sometimes the Rabbanim do not daven properly, so it's better they should not face the Tzibur. The Rabbanim are going to be looking in a Gemara the whole time, so Teignish, they're not allowed to look in a Gemara. They're supposed to be paying attention to the davening. So the Ramah writes like that. In Broyas, the Rabbanim do not face the Tzibur. And in Beis Medrash HaGadol, in Washington Heights, years ago, the Rabbanim always did face the Tzibur. So the Rabbi in Beis Medrash HaGadol always used to say jokingly, Broyas is not an Orthodox shul. They don't follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says the Rabbi is supposed to, this Canaan, supposed to be facing the Tzibur. Supposed to be davening in the front and facing the Tzibur. We assume that just like in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a separate section for the women. They didn't have the women and the men roaming around in the same area. There was an Ezos Yisrael and an Ezos Nashim. So too in the Beis HaKnesses, we should have a separate section for the women. When there was the court case in Michigan about the Orthodox shul, where they wanted to take down the Mechitza years ago, and there was one balabas who was fighting in court, and he pulled out a whole book, The Sanctity of the Synagogue. He collected all of the psalkim of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Aaron Kotler and Rabbi Soloveitchik and so on. So Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote in his essay there that in the early years of Christianity, the Christians used to shake a lulav and they put on a talis. They did everything the same as the Jews. And when you came to a shul, the only way you would know whether it's a Jewish shul or a Christian shul was there a separate section for the women's section, or were they sitting together? So that was the main objection of Rabbi Soloveitchik to having the men and the women sitting together, that it's a real violation of Chukas Akum, that this was done to imitate the Christians. The Reform took down the Mechitza to imitate the Christians, that the family who prays together stays together, and so on. So he was very upset about that. That's when he put out a psak many years ago, that if the only place where you can hear Tkiya Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, when the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar is a mitzvah menater, if the only place where you can hear Tkiya Shofar is in a shul where they have mixed seating, and the Baal Tekeh will not blow for you privately, so he said, better not to go to shul, better not to forgo Tkiya Shofar, rather than to go to the shul and hear the Tkiyas with the mixed seating, because if you stay home, so you will not be in violation of the Aveira of Chukasakam, and you will not have the mitzvah. But if you go to shul, fine, you'll have the mitzvah, but at the same time you have the Aveira. So he thought, he didn't say it as a gzeira. He didn't make a takana, a rasha. He said, simple cheshbainus. He said, if you go to the shul and you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar with the mixed seating, you'll have the mitzvah, but you'll have the Aveira at the same time. So he says, best not to have the mitzvah, not to have the Aveira, rather than to have the mitzvah and have the Aveira. The Rambam talks about bima b'yemtza, about having the Baal Koreh laying Kriyas HaTorah in the middle, and the rabbi should give the Divrei Torah from the middle. Obviously, the Rambam was not a chazan. So the Rambam says, we want everybody to hear the Baal Koreh laying Kriyas HaTorah. We want everybody to hear the rabbi saying Divrei Torah. Everybody should hear the chazan. Didn't bother him so much. Apparently, the chazan davens all the way in the front, and a lot of people in the back will not be able to hear the chazan, but the Baal Koreh, the Kriyas HaTorah, and the rabbi, that we're makbed, that has to be b'emtza, bima b'emtza, that everybody should hear. So the Kesef Mishneh writes, commenting, Rabbi Yosef Kar writes, commenting on that Rambam, that all the cities in Spain, they were little minyonim, they weren't so big, so nishgefeloch, so everybody will hear the Baal Koreh, everybody will hear the rabbi, even if the rabbi speaks from the front of the shul, it's not such a big shul. So there's no halacha that you really need bima b'emtza. It's just that everybody should be able to hear. If it's a small shul, you don't need bima b'yemtza. But for many years, the minig was not like the Kesef Mishneh. And then when the Reform changed it, and they pushed the Kriyas HaTorah to the front, they did away with the bima b'yemtza. So the Chasam Sofer said that they're a violation of Chukasakum. They're doing it to imitate the churches. And you're not allowed to daven in such a shul. You have to have bima b'yemtza. The Netziv also has an essay about this. He has a tshuva in the Meshiv Dover. He writes also about that it's important to have the bima b'yemtza zecha l'migdosh, because the Beis HaKnesset is supposed to be a migdosh miyatza, and the Beis HaMigdosh, the Mizbeach was b'yemtza, to enable the people to go with Hoshainas on every day of Sukkot, and on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah they went around seven times, every day they went around one time. So by us, we say in the davening, we say in the Kinnis that the whole Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Ein lo nashir, rak haTorah hazaz. The only thing we have left from the Beis HaMikdash is the Sefer Torah. What does the Beis HaMikdash, what does the Sefer Torah have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? The Etzem Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash was because you had the Luchos and you had the Sefer Torah and the Kedusha Kadoshim. We said before from Abchaim Valojana, Tashmish Kedusha, get the Kedusha from the fact that you have Divrei Torah written. So you have Sefer Torah, you have Aseres HaDibros, you have Tefillin Shel Rosh, you have Tefillin Shel Yad, you have Mezuzah. So what's the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash based on? If the Kedusha only sets in when you have Divrei Torah, so what? In the Beis HaMikdash you have Torah Shebal Peh. Fine, so they're learning Torah Shebal Peh. In the Beis HaMikdash, what Divrei Torah do you have? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, that's what the Netziv has in his Tshuva. We have the in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have the Aseres HaDibros, and you have the Sefer Torah. And even the Bayisheni, where the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, that Yoshio HaMelech, towards the end of the Bayisrishim period, Yoshio HaMelech was going as the Luchas. He put it in the basement, in the Beis HaMikdash. On the whole period of the Bayisheni, the Mishnah says in Yuma, the Orin was not, the Orin with the Luchas, with the Sefer Torah, were not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara has a whole discussion there on that Mishnah in Yuma. Where was the Aron during the whole period of the second Beis HaMikdash? The Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says when Yoshio HaMelech was going as the Luchas towards the end of the period of the Bais Rishon, he put it in a special room in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. Where was it during Bais Sheni? So the different opinions in the Gemara. So the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBchira has adopted one position from this historical machlokes. He writes that the whole period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Orim with the Luchas was in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. Why did the Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik says, why did the Rambam take a stand on a historical issue in the Mishnah Torah? And Moreh Nevuchim, sometimes he writes about history, but why in the Mishnah Torah he only writes halachas? He writes a little hashkofa based on halacha. Why does he have to take a stand? Why is it necessary? So he thought that the Rambam understood that this was a halachic issue, that you cannot have a Beis HaMikdash, you cannot have a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash unless you have some Divrei Torah there. So what Divrei Torah did they have? So they had the Orem with the Luchas. No, what was in the Bai Sheni? Why was there any Kedushas Beis HaMikdash at all? So he thought the Rambam is taking a stand because he holds that this is a halachic issue, that in order to have Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, you have to have an Orem with the Luchas, so they were in the basement. So that's what the Netziv points out, that we say in the Kinnis, everything was destroyed. The only thing we have left in the Beis HaMikdash is the Torah. What's the connection? Because the Torah was the center of the, that was the whole source of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So because we lay Kriyas HaTorah on the Bima, so that's why we should have Bima B'Emtza Zecher LeMizbeach. It's not this, the Mizbeach was a Mizbeach, but the Bima B'Emtza is the only thing, the place where we learn Kriyas HaTorah, that's the only thing we have left in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's Zecher the Beis HaMikdash, to have the Bima B'Emtza. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a practice that's the sources from the Zohar, that a Beis HaKnesset should have a minimum of 12 windows corresponding to the Yud Beis Shvatim. I was told this was before my time, that in a little shul in Tannisville there used to be only 10 windows. The Rabbi Breuer requested of them they should add another 2 windows just in order to have the number 12. They have 12 windows. They weren't functional. They didn't need them. Nobody uses them now. High up windows, but just in order to be out to this many, to have a minimum of 12 windows. Then,
I'm thinking the Chagall windows.
No, they're supposed to be windows that open up. Chagall windows are just pictures. Yeah, so Leitchik was felt that the stained glass windows are a violation of Chukas Hakom. He thought that we picked it up from the churches. He published an essay about this. He felt that the churches Beshita wanted the people to have an otherworldly feeling. When they come to the church, they shouldn't realize that they're in this world. They should feel as if they're in heaven or something. So that's why they introduced stained glass windows. So when the sun shines in, through the colored windows, so you have the feeling as if you're in the heavens. And he thought that it's prohibited to have stained glass windows. So every time he would say this, people would ask, what about this shul? What about the other shul? What about the other shul? He said, they didn't consult me. I didn't authorize it. He used to say, he thinks that it's not permissible. Thought that it's not permissible. Then we were learning a Tosfos in Sanhedrin around Daf Samach Aleph. So Tosfos says something about stained glass. They're not talking about stained glass windows. Talking about stained glass drinking from stained glass cups. See, I told you, stained glass is chukasak. Tosfos is not talking about shuls and windows. It's something else. That avodah zarah. The Nadi Behuda writes, we can't make up new dinim, but he thinks that just like in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash was in a rectangular shape. So he thinks that also a shul should be in a rectangular shape. If you take a round structure and you convert it into a shul, you're not mechuyev to go crazy to make it into a rectangular shape. But if you're building a shul, the same shul, so he says he doesn't think it's right to invent new dinim, but he thinks that it's self-understood that the shul should be in rectangular shape, similar to the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash.
You're talking about the building itself or the Beit Knesset?
The Beis HaKnesset, yeah. The place where they done should be in a rectangular shape. The Achrayim discuss which side of the shul should the rabbi daven on. Should the rabbi daven, usually the rabbi daven is next to the Aron Kodesh, should they daven this side or this side? So the Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer write that the minig in Hungary was the following. The Gemara in Brochus has Harotze Sheyachkim, if a person wants to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should gain Chochmas HaTorah, so he should be Yadrim. He should face the south a little bit. You have to face Eretz Yisrael, but you're facing east. As Eretz Yisrael, you face a little bit southeast. And Rosh Hashayashir, if a person wants to get rich, Yatzpin, he should face a little bit to the north. I remember years ago, there used to be a Rabbi Lieberman, a European rabbi, was a rabbi in Richmond, Virginia. So he made a comment jokingly. He said, all the big universities are in the north, and all the multimillionaires, the plantation owners, are in the south. It should have been the reverse in America. The one who wants to gain chokhmah should face north, where the universities are, and the one who wants to become rich should become rich like the plantation owners in the south. But that's what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says the reason why, because in the Beis HaMikdash, see, by us, the shuls face Mizrach. So we have the menorah on the right side of the shul, which is south. The Beis HaMikdash was the reverse. The Beis HaMikdash was facing west. So the menorah was on the left side. That was the south. So the menorah represents Chochmas HaTorah. And the Shulchan was on the right side, that was north. So that's what the Gemara said, the Shulchan represents Shulchan Melochim, Ashiras. So I wrote to Sheyachim, Yatzman should face a little bit to the north. And I wrote to Sheyashir should face the north. And I wrote to Sheyachim should face the south. So in the Shuls in Europe, where the Shul was facing Mizrach, so if the rabbi wants to be zeichet to hatzloche, the rabbi wants to be zeichet to more hatzloche and learning. And the president of the shul is probably a wealthy balabos, he wants to be zeichet to more hatzloche and hashiva. So they used to have the rabbi nochmal. The rabbi would daven nochmal. The rabbi, if the shul was facing Mizrach, so which way would you be facing south? The rabbi sits on this side. The rabbi sits on the left side. So he'll be facing south. When he faces daven here, he faces the Arkadish a little bit, so he'll be facing south. The Rosh HaKol is a wealthy Baal Bas, he wants to get richer. Yishesh Lamon wrote some Masan, so he's going to daven over here and face a little bit to the north. That's how the Talmid Chasam Sofer write that. That was the minig, that was the common minig in Hungary. That the Rav would sit, because on Kodesh the shul is facing Mizrah, so the Rav would sit on the left side of the shul, and the Rosh HaKol would sit on the right side of the Aron Kodesh.
How do people in Beis Lechem deal with it? The south of Yerushalayim.
So they're supposed to face north.
Yes,
I face the Yerushalayim when they daven.
They need them out.
Okay. So they're all facing the north. Okay. In the days of the Gemara, the Paroiches was considered a Tashmishei Kedusha. The Sefer Torah is considered an item that has Kedusha. The mentala on the Sefer Torah is Tashmishi Kedusha. That's Mishamish. Let's say a pair of tefillin. The tefillin itself is a Gufa Kedusha, and the cardboard box that covers it is a Tashmishi Kedusha. So let's say the cardboard box gets all worn out and it's broken and you buy a new one, you want to throw it out in the garbage, and the Gemara says you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. You have to put it in the Shemus. You have to, even though there are no psukim, there are no words of Divrei Torah on it, that's the same thing on mentala. Let's say it doesn't have any words of Divrei Torah on it, but still, when the mental is worn out, that has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha. The Sefer Torah is the Gufi Kedusha. The mental is a Tashmishi Kedusha. Aron Kodesh is also Tashmishi Kedusha. So the Pashto says the Paroiches is twice removed from the Sefer Torah. Paroiches beautifies the Aron Kodesh, which in turn holds the Sefer Torah. So the Paroiches should really have been a Tashmish. The Tashmish should be twice removed. That's when I put my tefillin in my tefillin zekel. So the tefillin are the Gufa Kedusha, and the cardboard box covers the bayis. Cardboard box doesn't cover the ritzuas. So the cloth tefillin zekel is also a Tashmishi Kedusha. It contains the ritzuas of the tefillin. But then I have a plastic cover on top of the cloth tefillin zekel. So the plastic cover, and then I put my whole tefillin zekel into the talon zekel. So the plastic cover on top of the cloth tefillin zekel is already twice removed. That's a Tashmish to Tashmish. So if the plastic gets torn and I want to get rid of it, you just throw it in the garbage. It doesn't have any status of Kedusha. But let's say I put the whole tefillin zekel inside the talis zekel, so the talis zekel, the talis is not a gufa Kedusha. The talis is only Tashmishi mitzvah. The talis zekel does not have any Kedusha at all. And even though I put the tefillin zekel into it, that's a second cover, that's called Tashmish. The Tashmish, that does not have the status of Kedusha. So in the days of the Gemara, the Gemara says that the Paroich has had the status of Tashmishi Kedusha, not twice removed. Why? Because it was a common practice. They didn't have a mapa on the Shulchan. The Shulchan would be bare. And when they would take the Sefer Torah out on Sheni V'Chamishi and Shabbos, they would take the Paroiches, it was common practice, they would take the Paroiches, put it down on the Shulchan, and then put the Sefer Torah directly on top of the Paroiches. So the Paroiches had the status of Tashmishi Kedusha because they would kavua. They would put the Sefer Torah on top of the Paroiches. So the later poskim, the commentaries on the Yerideh and Hilchos Sefer Torah, right? Bizmanas, and nobody does that. We never take down the Paroiches to put it on the Shulchan. If there is no map on the Shulchan, so somebody puts a talis, and he only puts the talis temporarily, so the talis doesn't intend that the talis should serve kavua as the cover as the mapa. So the talus doesn't become designated as a tashmish kedusha, and the pareches is really a tashmish. The tashmish is twice removed. So this is what the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch and Yeridei write, that they developed a minig in many communities that when they would shtel a chuppah, they would use the pareches from the shul to make the chuppah into a more serious event that the chasen kala should realize, like in today's sedra. Read the way Eliezer came to read the Shidduch with Rivka, and he reminds her of Das Eres Adibros and Shnei Luchas Habris, Shnei Tzvidim Al Yadeh, and Bekka Mishkola, the Machtas HaShekla. He says, you're going to be, do you agree to become one of the Imos of the Klal Yisrael? This is going to be a marriage that's going to be making future generations going to become Klal Yisrael. And every marriage we try to impress upon the couple that they should incorporate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says Ish v'Isha, Shechina Shvui Beinein. The word Ish has a Yud, the word Isha has a Hey. The Gemara says that we, when we get married, we use an expression Hariat Mekudeshesli. So the Gemara says that's not found in Biblical Hebrew. Biblical Hebrew, if a person wants to speak Biblical Hebrew, Acharam wrote in Biblical Hebrew, so he wouldn't say Mekudeshes. He would say Hariat Ishte, Hariat Arisasi, Hariat Nisuasi, Hariat Salosi, Negdosi, Azrasi, Ezek and Negdo. But not Hariat Mekudeshesli, that's a Lishna de Rabbanon. That's an expression that the rabbis invented. But the commentaries on the Gemara point out, yeah, it's a Lishna de Rabbanon, it's not a Biblical Hebrew, but the concept is a concept de Raisa. When a couple gets married, Ish v'Ish is Shechina Shvui B'neim. They make a bris with each other. Eish is brisecho, it says in Tanakh. Husband and wife make a deal together. They should realize they should have a third partner also. So not only Eliezer with Rivka, with Yitzchak, is reminding the girl of what's going to be in the future. He's proposing in the name of Yitzchak, do you agree to become one of the Emors of Klal Yisrael, to be the founding, one of the founding fathers and mothers of the Klal Yisrael? Every couple who gets married is also, we want them to bring our Kodesh Baruch Hu into the equation, to be a shutif in the marriage. So that's why the minhag developed, that you take the pareches from the shul. There were many pareches in Europe that had rings on the corners, on the four corners. They had metal rings in order to hold it under the chuppah. Those of you who are my age or older remember years ago, a chuppah, you had four people holding the four poles in the corners, and there would be circles on the, and others had a taina, other achrenim on the side of the Ebenezer, they have a taina that the chuppah with the four poles is supposed to be like an Erev for the purposes of Shabbos. You have an Erev, Kanagabeim, that's a Tzuras HaPesach, we call it. So that serves as a mechitza. So you want to have four poles, you want to have something on top, so that this mokum is separate from the rest of the room, the chasen kala, like they enter the separate room. See, the chasen kala enter the separate room. So one of the rules in an Erev is, when you have kanagabeim, two poles and a wire on top, the wire on top has to be al gabeim, has to be above the two poles, can't be men atzad. So usually when they have a pareches with four rings in the four corners, so the pole is here, visualize over here. You have a ring on the corner, and then the pole is over here. So there's nothing above this pole till the other pole. The pole is over here. And the whole cloth is a half an inch away. So there's nothing al gabeim. So some of the achrayim insisted that's no good. That chuppah, that's where they always did chuppah. So a whole group of achrayim insisted that's no good. You have to cut a hole over here and have the pole over here. So around 30 years ago, they had a display in the YU Museum of all parochesim from shuls from all over the world. So many of the parochesim had this slit in the corner. And no one understood what it was all about. So the one who was giving the tour, the guide for the tour, was explaining that in Ebenezer, they have such a kpeda that it should be like an Erev, and you have to have Karnal Gabeim. So they used to have this split. So this was a common practice in Europe, to use the chuppah from the shul to impress upon the couple that they should realize that in their marriage, the Rabban Shalom is also a shutif. So some of the Achrayim said, true, that Bizman Azeh, the Parochis doesn't any longer have the status of Tashmish and Kedusha. By us, it's Tashmish, because we never take it down to put it on the Shulchan and have the Sefer Torah directly touching it. By us, it always stays on the Yaron Kodesh and it's on the outside, so it's really twice removed from the Sefer Torah, but still, it doesn't have the status of Tashmish Kedush, but it should have this as one of the pieces of furniture in the Beis HaKnesses. So the pews in the Beis HaKnesses and the Arka, everything in the Beis HaKnesses has a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. Fine, it doesn't have a Kedusha Sefer Torah, it doesn't have the higher level of Kedusha, of Tashmishei Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, but it should have the status of a Kedusha Beis HaKnesses. So just like it's not proper to take a shtender from the shul or a pews from the shul to use for the chuppah, so some have a taina that it's not proper to use the parochas from the shul either, even though strictly speaking it's really a tashmish to tashmish. So that was a different minhagim. But it was a pretty common minhag. This was a pretty common minhag for many centuries to use the parochas for the purpose of a chuppah. In the Shulchan Aruch they speak about kavod beis haknesses, not only the kavod in the beis haknesses. You shouldn't do improper hishtamshus on top of the beis haknesses. You shouldn't have parties on top of the beis haknesses. So it's not proper that someone should, if you have a shul, it's not proper that someone should move in to live on top of the shul. What if you have a building like this? First it was built as an apartment building, and then people moved in, and then they decided to make the shul downstairs. So the apartments came first. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, that's not a problem. What's not proper is if, let's say, in Borough Park in Flatbush, every other house is a family lives upstairs and they have a shul downstairs. That's how they built it in Lechatchila, like that there should be a shul upstairs. So in Shulchan Aruch, that is permissible. So the Taz lived in the 1600s. The Taz writes that he lived in the city Krakow for a while, and he lived on top of a shul. It was this kind of an arrangement. It was built Lechatchila as a home. Then they made the shul later. And several of his children died as babies, and he attributes the death of his babies to the fact that he lived on top of the shul and doesn't recommend it. He recommends you shouldn't do it. In the Shulchan Aruch, there's a discussion, where does this idea come from, that you shouldn't use on top of the shul? Gag Beis HaKnesses. So they discuss, there's a Gemara in the middle of Psochem around Pehei, Pehvav. What's the halacha in the Beis HaMikdash? Gag and Valiyos Neskatshu, or Gag and Valiyos Neskatshu? Let's say in Yerushalayim, if you want to eat Maaseh Sheni, you have to eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. You want to eat Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. The Gemara Psochem is talking about eating Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, you can only eat Korban Pesach in the Yer Atika, in the Old City. And they had a few million people came from all over Eretz Yisrael, from all over the world to participate in Korban Pesach. The Old City is not so big. There wasn't enough room for everybody. So the Gemara says, everybody had to eat on the ground level. You couldn't eat on Gag and Valiyos. You couldn't eat on the upper floors because the loin is katshu. And Tosfos assumes the same is true regarding eating Maaseh Sheni. You have to eat the Maaseh Sheni on the ground level. You can't eat on a higher level. So the Gemara says, how is it possible? There wasn't enough room for everybody to eat. So the Gemara says they ate in shifts. So the second shift would be waiting for the first shift. Hurry up and finish eating already. Wherever they ate, that's where they have to bench. They have to have Kiddush b'makom Suda. So they have to have Kiddush where they're going to start eating. So they had the first half of the Seder till after Birchas HaMazon was the Birchas HaMazon is the third cup of the Abrikosis on Pesach night. So from Kiddush till the end of the third cup would be on the ground level. Then the people would be clamoring, go somewhere else already. Let us start eating. You have to eat the Korban Pesach before midnight. So the second shift would take over. And the Gemara says the first shift would go find a rooftop somewhere and they would complete the rest of the Seder. And the Gemara says, Kazesa, the Gemara says they had an expression, Kazesa Pischa, they ate a Kazesa Korban Pesach, and then they would be saying the end of the Hallel. The second half of the Hallel was after the Bechus Amos, and the Halela Koka Igra. When they were dancing on top of the rooftops, a lot of times you go to a wedding and the boys are dancing so much, you feel as if the floor is going to collapse. The whole floor is shaking. Sometimes the floors do collapse. So you feel as if it's going to collapse. So that's what the Gemara says. When they would be saying the Hallel on top of the rooftops, they had the sensation as if Halela Paka Igra, if the reciting of the Hallel on top of the roof is going to crack the ceiling. Paka Igra, Igra is a roof, a ceiling. So the Gemara says that in Yerushalayim, the Kedusha Yerushalayim is only on the ground level. It doesn't go to the second floor or to the rooftops. What about Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says some parts yes and some parts no. The Azara is only Kaddish on the ground level, the upper level is not. The Heichal is not so. The Heichal is the Kaddish HaKadoshim, and the Heichal in front of it. So the Heichal was even the Gag and Valiyos on top of the Heichal, but also in his Katshu. So the commentaries on the Shaida, the Shulchan Aruch, the Shari Tshuva, and others quote, Shari Tshuva quotes are the later quoted also. They had an old collection of Tshuva Saraman that's called Pe'er Ador. This day in the collection now, in recent years, 50 years ago, Blau put out the Chuvas HaRambam with the Arabic on one side, the Hebrew translation on the other side, more Chuvas. But the old collection was known as Pe'er Ador. So they quoted Chuvas HaRambam, what's the din of the rooftop on top of the shul? So the Rambam says, everything is parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. The different sections of the Beis HaMikdash have their parallel in the shul. So the area on top of the Aron Kodesh, the Aron Kodesh and the Beis HaMikdash used to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Heichal, the whole Heichal, not just the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the whole Heichal, Gog and Malias were in this kacha. So you really shouldn't take a nap upstairs above the Heichal, above the Aron Kodesh. But the rest of the shul is like the rest of the Azara, so that you would be allowed to live in that part. I remember years ago when I was a student in yeshiva, so I stayed in the dormitory for a few years. So one year they gave me a room that was on top of the Beis HaKnesses. So I requested a Rabbi Chavis, I want to sleep somewhere in a different room. So he says, the first time he ever got such a request. Nice enough to... first time, he was nice enough to do it for me. The Gemara has a Chiddush Din. There is a shul in Prague that's known as the Altnai Shul. So they're not sure exactly what it means. The Pashup Shat is that they had an old shul and then they built a new shul. Then they built a newer shul. So they called the old shul was called the old shul. And then the new shul became the old shul, so they called it the Alt Nai Shul, the old new shul, because this is the new shul. That's the Pashup Shul. That's what I usually assume. And others say no, that they call it the Alt Nai, not Alt Noi, old new. Al is the first word, Ayin Lamed, and Tanai is Taf Nun Aleph Yud. The Gemara says in the end of Megillah, but the Knesset Shebebavel, when they build a shul outside of Eretz Yisrael, Al Tanai Hei Masuim, they build it Al Tanai, that you have a right to use it for Divrei Chol. Exactly what does that mean? So that's a dispute between Tosfos and the Ramban. The Mishnah Berurah has a long arichas, so all the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch have a whole discussion. So some are of the opinion that even Bibinyonim, even while the shul is standing and it's being used for davening purposes, the shuls in Chutz La'aretz are all constructed ala Tanai, and you're allowed to use it for secular purposes if it's necessary. And others say, no, Allah Tanai only helps b'chur bonam. After the shul will no longer be used as a shul, everybody's going to move away, so then we assume it no longer has any kiddush. But many Rishonim were of the opinion that even b'binyanim, even when the shul is still intact, you're allowed to use it for other purposes. So the Gemara in the end of Psochim, the Daf Yomi people just finished the Gemara Psochim. So the Gemara in the last parak of Psochim has a dispute between Rabbi Shmuel, is it necessary to recite Kiddush b'makom Sa'uda? So we paskin, yes, that one is only midirabbanan. It's not midirabbanan, midirabbanan. One is only a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush if you're going to have the meal right away after recite the Kiddush. If you said Kiddush and then something came up and the candle blew out and you can't eat over there, you have to go eat by some other place, a different location, then you have to repeat Kiddush all over again. You weren't yotzei with the first Kiddush because it wasn't the makom suda. So the Gemara says, so why do you recite Kiddush in shul? We're going to go eat at home. No one's yotzei with the Kiddush in shul. And Gemara says, no, the Kiddush in the shul is because they used to have orchim eating there. So Taisa says, what do you mean? People are allowed to eat in shul? You're not allowed to eat in shul. What's going on? So Taisa has one suggestion. There was a side room. They said the Kiddush in the shul, and the aniyim, the poor people who would be, they would be traveling from one village to the other, so they would eat in the side room. And then Taisa has another suggestion. No, maybe like this Ramban, that all the batei kneses shebebavel, al tanayim masim, even bibinyonim, that you're allowed to use it for other purposes. So maybe the aniyim taka would eat in the shul. So you look, so the question is today, we no longer have any aniyim eating in the shul, we don't have that institution at all, so why do we still, does it still make sense? Why do we still recite Kiddush? So the Pasukim quoted Chuvas HaRambam. We're not too sure about any of these Chuvas HaRambam, whether they're authentic or not, but that's what they quote Chuvas HaRambam. Rambam says that just like the Chachamim introduced Chazaras HaShatz to be Moitzi the Ein HaBaki, in the days of the Gemara, not everybody knew how to daven. So they instituted the repetition of the Shemana Esrei, the Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, to be Moitzi the Ein HaBaki. They never made a takana for Myra, because Myra was always Rishus in the first place. So if you don't know how to daven, so Nishgah fell, the world won't come to an end. But Shachris and Musaf and Mincha is a Chayva. So they introduced Chazaras HaShatz because of the Ein HaBaki. What if you're in a yeshiva? What if you're in a shul? Well, Kulona Chachami, Kulona Levanim, Kulona Zikain, Kulona Yodim, everybody knows how to read a Siddur. What do you need Chazaras HaShatz for? So the Rambam writes that it's a takonas ha-chachamim, so even if you live in a generation, even if you live in a community, but everybody knows how to daven, You have to fulfill the takana. So he writes the same, the quote from Rabbi Yanke Kamenetsky wrote about this, that in yeshivas they have a practice that they say they don't repeat chazaras al-shatz by mincha, they just have a hoche kiddush. So Rabbi Yanke Kamenetsky wrote a sefer of comments on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, because in yeshiva everybody knows how to daven, so the takana of chazaras al-shatz were never made in the first place. So that's against this Tshuvas HaRama. The Rama says they made a takana, and even if you live in a community where everybody knows how to daven, that's the takana, you have to repeat the Chazaras HaShatz. The Rambam says the same is true regarding Kiddush and the Beis HaKnesses. They made a takana, the initial motivation for the takana was to be Moitzi the Orchem Yudei Chayvasim, the guests who were there, someone has to say Kiddush with them, so it remains, even Bizman HaZeb, we don't have any Orchem. So you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Kiddush, so Rabbi Yosef Karo writes, we don't say Kiddush and Shul. Most of the Shtiblach, they don't say Kiddush and Shul. And the Ramah says, we do say Kiddush and Shul. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius writes in one of his Svarim, in Matei Ephraim, the Sefer Rashani, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So he says, it's not a machlekes between Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramah. They lived in two different countries. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they never had Orchim in the first place. Only bought the Knesset of Bavel. Al Tanai Hei Masim. So in Bavel, in the Chutzlars, they were allowed to have the Anim eat in the Shul. So that's why in Bavel they introduced the Kiddush in the Shul and the Takana remains. The Ramo lived in Chutzlars. So in Chutzlars was the Takana. They used to have Orchim meeting in the Shul. Made a Takana, they should say Kiddush in the Shul, so they continue. And those who live in Eretz Yisrael, they never had such a practice. There's only Batin Kinesia Sheva Bavel, or Al Tanai Hei Masim. That's his suggestion. The Frames Amagodis, he suggests that maybe there never was a Machlaikis. Depends whether you live in America, you live in Eretz Yisrael, or you live in Chutzal Eretz. In the Gemara, they have a lot of details. The end of Maseches Megillah here, one of the shuls sold their old shul and they built a new shul. So they have a lot of details about selling a shul. When do you have the ability to be mafkir the kedusha? So we mentioned earlier, the Ramban writes at Min HaTorah, calls man that the davening in the shul still has kedusha. When they stop davening in the shul, then it's like an esrog after Sukkot is over, like the sukkah after Sukkot is over. Shelo bizman haMitzvah, so then the kedusha is off. The Ramban says, calls man that is still davening there has a kedusha min haTorah as tashmishe mitzvah. When everyone will stop davening there, they build a new shul, and then they'll start davening there, and they won't use the old shul, then it no longer has kedusha min haTorah. So then midirabbanan, we require you have to sell it and to be mafkir the kedusha, as if you're paid. The kedusha goes on to the money. You should use the money for more important things. Yeah, but if they sold the shul when they're still davening there, so that's keneged adit. Supposed to sell the shul after you stop davening there. If you're still davening and you sell it, so that's not right.
If you go on contract, they go on contract.
Contract means that if and when we stop davening there, okay. But I think in this shul, I think what happened was they sold the shul and then they rented it from the people that they sold it to. So they didn't make the kinyan lachazman. They made the kinyan tekef and they were paying rent. So that's why they had a hustle to leave, because they were paying rent. Everything was, and they were building the other shul. Then the Gemara has another klal. When you want to sell the shul, so you have to have the seven members of the board. In the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, you used to have a board with seven members. Zayin tuva here. So you have to sell the shul. Zayin tuva here. But maimer anshei here. All the people from the shul should be there. So then the Gemara says, b'medvar mamurim, when does that help? You can be mafkir the kedusha from the shul. If it's a shul that's only the people who live in the neighborhood daven there. But what if it's a shul in a big city and people come from all over the world to visit this community and we all daven in this big shul? This is a famous shul. So then we can't just have a meaning of Maimed Anshe Huir, the people from the city, because people come from, even the people from outside didn't help pay for the shul. The shul was paid for by the locals and the others are mooching on them. But still, since all the people in the world use the shul to daven there, so you have no right to sell such a shul to be mafkir the kedusha. So this was one of the issues that was involved over there. This whole din, that if you sell a shul, the kedusha goes on the money, this is what we call a halach of teifes domov. We have hegdish's teifes domov. When hegdish has something, they sell it. So the money that you pay, the hegdish is yotze l'chulin, and the money that you pay becomes hegdish when you pay the ma'aser sheni like that. Ma'aser sheni is yotze l'chulin, And the money is Tefes Dama. Avodizora, the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk. Avodizora, Tefeses Memel. Other things are not Tefes Dama. So this is a Chumra Midirabbanon, that we treat the Minator. There is no such thing that the Shul has Kedusha, and then you sell it, so the Kedusha goes from the Shul onto the money. It's a Chumra Midirabbanon that the Chachamim introduced, that we treat it as if the Kedusha goes onto the money. So some of the Achareinim point out, let's say the Shul can't afford, if they want to sell the shul, they can't afford to take this money to use it for Sifrei Torah. Malam HaKodesh, supposed to use the money that you get from selling the shul for more important, for things of a higher level of Kedusha. They can't always afford that. So they say you should sell the shul for $10, and then they should pay the rest as a matonah. Whatever they give as the Meha Mekach, whatever amount of money is given for payment for the shul, then it's a Zet Tachazet, then it's Teifas Dama. And if they only say they're giving $10 to buy the shul, and the rest is a matana, so then it wouldn't be Teifas Dama. So that's what the Netziv writes. When he would buy Perishvias, are also types in demand. The fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael, Berishnas Hashmita, if you sell them to someone else, so the Kedusha from the Perish retain their Kedusha. And if you sell it, so the money given is also Teifas Dama. So that money may not be used. You can't put that money in a bank account. You're supposed to use that money to buy food and eat the food before the Zman HaBior of those payers. So the Netziv didn't have a checking account. It could be that the checking account didn't exist during his lifetime. I don't know. He lived in the late 1800s. So he didn't have a checking account. So he always insisted on using an esrog from Eretz Yisrael, even the sukkahs following Shnas HaShmita. So it was going to be a problem. He's going to have an esrog, and he's going to pay the merchant for the esrog. So the money that he gives the merchant is nitfas v'kedushas pei reshvi. So the merchant is not supposed to put it in a bank account, which of course he is going to do. So how do you avoid that? So the Netziv used to ask the esrog merchant, he should trust him. He's going to pay him after sukkah. Give me the esrog mamatona, and I promise you, or sell it to me, whatever, for $30-$40. I'll pay you after sukkah. And he quotes the Gemara in the last paragraph of Avodah Zarah, says that something is teifas damav, peiros that grow in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas HaShmita, teifas in the mayim, only if I pay the money, well, the priest still exists. But if I ate up the fruit already, if I bought peiros from Shmita year, and I ate it up before I pay the money, then there is no zet tachazet. So he would take the esrog after sukkahs and cook it and make a meichel out of it, eat it up, and after he ate it up, then he would pay the money. They trusted him, they were going to pay the money later. So the later, the Chazanish says that now if a person has a checking account is no problem. It's not called Zet Tachazet. Checking account means you have the right to draw against my account. And where? What do I have? I have the right to draw why you give me a salary. I have the right to draw against why you use account. What's Yu's account? They have a right to draw against the Mr. Jesselson's account. What's Jesselson? He has a right to draw against his customers. Everybody's drawing against. The whole thing is in the luft. There's nothing there, Lemaise. The people owe each other money. It's only Teifas Dama if it's Zeh Tachazeh. If I ate up the Perish V's already, and then I give the money, there is no Zeh Tachazeh. So even if the Perish V's are here, but I'm giving you a check, you have the right to draw against my account, there is no Zeh Tachazeh. That's what they quote from the Chazon Ish. So that's a kula that some of the people use in recent years. If you're selling a shul, after everybody stopped davening shul, you sell a shul, and you don't want the money paid to be nitfas b'kedushas beis haknesses, that you will be required to use it from malam akar at a higher level, so tell them they should pay by check. They shouldn't pay. Usually they do pay by check. You don't pay in cash. Pay by checks, and the whole institution of Teifas Damav wouldn't apply. Then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you sell a shul in the presence of a Zayin Tuvi here, but my Menachem here, they sent letters to all the members, and they all came, and they all attended the meeting, and they all agreed they're going to stop davening there, and they're going to daven somewhere else. So then you sell the shul, the Kedusha goes off, so then you can even use the shul to make beer parties. For secular prayer, afila lemishti beshichra. You can even drink beer over there. So in Shulchan Aruch they say, yeah, drinking beer is okay, but not to make, let's say, a beis hakiseh out of the shul, not to make a church out of the shul. If you know in advance you're going to sell it as a church, you're going to sell it to someone else, you're going to sell it to a church. So that's a very bizoyendik, so that you shouldn't do. To drink beer is one thing, but to make a beis hakiseh, a beis avodah zarah, so that Rav Moshe Feinstein has that, that's not permissible. In the Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries point out that just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ezras Noshim in the Beis HaMikdash had a lower level of Kedusha than the Azara. in the Azari, not allowed to sit. And years ago, the women were either pregnant or nursing, and they always had to sit. It wasn't so easy for the women to stand. So the Chachamim didn't want to be Mekadosh, the Ezra Snoshim, that should have Kedusha Sazor, so the women will have to sit. That's how Rashi explains on the Gemara. Whenever the Gemara says this, Rashi always gives the same Chad Gadya. They didn't want to be Mekadosh, the Ezra Snoshim, because the women would have to stand the whole time, and it's often difficult. So just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ezra Snoshim only had a Kedusha Harabais, it never had a Kedusha Sazorah. So to win the Shul, everything is parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. The Ezra Snoshim has a slightly lower level of Kedusha than the men's section. So let's say they made a Shul, and it turns out that the women's section is too crowded. They want to take over a couple of rows in the men's section. They made a mistake. They guessed wrong, and they made the men's section too big and the women's section too small. So if you want to take part of the men's section, convert into a women's section, so the poskim assume that this is a violation, and Malam HaKodesh V'Lom HaRidin. So the classical poskim have this suggestion. Rav Soloveitchik, I think, told Rabbi Schoenfeld, if I'm not mistaken, he had this problem when he first built the Young Israel. So they realized that they made a mistake. The men's section was too big. So Rav Soloveitchik said they should rope off a couple of rows in the men's section. They shouldn't use it for a month or two. And once they're not using it anymore, so that section loses its conditions based on this. That's how the Ramban said. They should make up, they're not going to daven there anymore. And then, once it loses the Kedusha Min HaTorah, then the Ramban says, then you can sell it, B'motzi L'chu. So they sold it to someone for $5, and then they bought it back, and they designated it as an Ezra Snoshim. That's what it says in the classical poskim. So in recent, and a few years later, there was a rabbi had a shul which was founded originally as a Nusach Ashkenaz shul. And then so many people from Eastern Europe came into his shul that the overwhelming majority daven Nusach Svar. So they wanted to change the Nusach HaTfilah from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Svar. So someone said, what's the problem? You just sell the whole shul and you buy it back. Rabbi Soloveitchik said. Rabbi Soloveitchik said has nothing to do with this. Rabbi Soloveitchik, this is about being mafkir the Kedusha of the shul, not about switching the Nusach. Switching the Nusach is a different issue. Sometimes you have a right to switch the Nusach and sometimes not. These are some of the dinim of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. And just to repeat again, the Sicha Betela in all the shuls is always a problem. And the Shulchan Aruch, they quote, I don't know where it comes from, they quote a statement that sometimes you'll see a shul that'll be burnt. It'll be because of the fact that they were talking Sicha Betela. And they say that in Holland, after the war was over, there was one community where all the shuls were destroyed by the Nazis except for one. And one shul that survived the whole war was because in that shul, they attributed it because in that shul no one ever talked. And when someone would come and talk in that shul, they would leave him alone. And after the davening, the gabbai would walk over and tell them nicely, please don't come and daven in our shul. We don't have any talking in the shul. So they say that that was the only shul that survived the war. And they quote such a passage in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know what the earlier source is, that shuls are burnt, shuls are destroyed because of the fact we destroy the shuls. We talk Sicha B'Tela. That's a violation of Kavod Beis HaKnesses. A good tavach, everybody.
I'd just like to mention before everybody gets up that the next year of Yitzhak Hashem will be in 2 weeks.
You recorded it?
I believe it's November
9th.
Okay. And the topic will include Hesped on Rabbi Avadia Yosef.
So Rabbi Kiva, the famous story, he died in one corner and ended up the other corner. That's a form of pacing. That's how does he show up there?
The Gemara says, "Miro hishdach voyes," bowing and
yeah, right.
Okay.
It's a pacing. Okay. So,